Good morning. I'll convene the House Education Finance Committee. First order of business is the minutes from April 3rd. Representative Jordan, would you like to look at the minutes for April 3rd and move them?
I already have looked at the minutes, Madam Chair, and I think they look impeccable, and I would move their approval.
Thank you, Representative Jordan. Representative Jordan moves the minutes for April 3rd.
Madam Minutes.
Is there any questions on the minutes for April 3rd? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. The minutes for April 3rd have been adopted. With that, we'll go to our next order of business, our first bill, House File 3564. Representative Hollins, welcome to the Education Finance Committee. I will move your House File 3564 before us and for a possible inclusion of the Education Finance Bill. And with that, go ahead and proceed.
Thank you so much, Chair Youakim. Thank you, committee members. It is truly my delight to be here to present this bill for the Girl Scouts troop. And I have to say, if you are not familiar with the Girl Scouts, beyond just their cookies, they also have phenomenal programming, although the cookies are really good and function as my lunch on many days here at the SOB. So House File 3564 is known as the Girl Scout Bill. And if you don't know, the Girl Scouts is the world's largest and premier girls leadership organization. They're known for many of their successful programs, but today we're focusing on a particular partnership, including the state, a number of schools around the state, and three Girl Scout councils which serve the state of Minnesota. The goal of this bill is to continue that partnership. And as you can see from the handout that was included in your packet, the outstanding education, social, and emotional results for girls from underserved communities. This particular Girl Scouts programming is focused on leadership, entrepreneurship, STEM learning, and healthy relationship building. It's proven results for years and has become a standard of out-of-school time education and student support. I have several testifiers here with me today, and I'm going to allow them to do most of the talking because they're the experts in this area.
Thank you, Representative Hollins. With that, we have our first testifier, Sarah Gengelhoff. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Sarah Gengelhoff, and I'm the Director for Advocacy and Community Relations at Girl Scouts River Valleys. I'm here in support of House File 3564, the Girl Scout Bill, a vitally important bill not just for our council, but for youth throughout Minnesota. The Girl Scout engagement programs have been around for a decade, but the demand from schools has outpaced the financial capacity. That's why we were excited to partner with the state in 2022 when we received $1 million of state ARPA funds for STEM and social-emotional health programming for those communities impacted by the pandemic. With this initial investment, the Girl Scout councils have worked together to provide programming to over 3,500 girls in Minnesota at no cost to girls or their families, and allowed us to expand our programming to communities that have historically been underserved. Education doesn't stop when the bell rings, as you know. Out of school time is crucially important for youth development, but many youth face barriers when it comes to participating in these programs. So we meet Girl Scouts where they're at, creating partnerships with school districts to hold meetings on site, in community centers and neighborhoods. As you can see from our handout, we also honor and incorporate the cultures of the Girl Scout that the Girl Scouts bring with them into the Girl Scout experience. House File 3564 backs evidence-based results for closing the opportunity gap and filling our leadership and workforce pipeline. In a time when girls continue to be unrepresented in some of the highest paying and fastest growing fields, Girl Scouts opens the world through activities focused on space and science, the natural world and environment, mathematics and coding, with opportunities to visit museums, attend camps, and visit local colleges. Longitudinal data on over 2,000 alumni of the Connects program has shown outstanding results that you can see in your handout. As promising as these results are, more is needed. We know that you have to make hard choices in the coming weeks, and we hope you see Girl Scouts as a partner to your educational goals for youth in Minnesota and for your work overall. By supporting the Girl Scout Bill, you're supporting girls' educational and social-emotional health success now and into the future. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of this committee.
Thank you so much for your testimony. Next up, we have Casey Lopez-Jung. Come on down, and then on deck we have Maya Yang and then Irish Song. Go ahead, please state your name for the record and proceed.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Casey Lopez-Jong, and I'm a Latina Partnerships Coordinator at Girl Scouts River Valleys. I am here in support of House File 3564, the Girl Scout Bill. As part of my position, I lead a Connects troop in the Community Engagement Department. In this role, I have seen amazing growth of my girls in my troop. My troop is composed of fourth and fifth graders. This can be a difficult age for children, especially girls, as they grow and start to explore their place in this world. For a majority of this, my girls, this is their first year being a Girl Scout. A lot of these girls may have missed out on the opportunity because of challenges known to families, transportation, family obligations, language barriers, and financial expense. The state funding allows us to provide staff-led troops like mine and provide out-of-school activities free of charge. My troop and I were recently here for Girl Scouts Day at the Capitol. The excitement that they had that one day they could be sitting in one of these spots and making important decisions for their communities, especially the diverse communities that they hold so near their heart. Our troop is a place where differences are explored with excitement, playing games, and celebrating holidays that they may have never heard of, resulting in them learning about different places and traditions. With this, the girls learn to be open to learning and respecting of others and their culture. We encourage and celebrate and uplift each other, a place where young girls have a place where they feel valued and heard. This bill allows us to reach more young people like the girls in my troop who wouldn't have access to these opportunities. Thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the committee for your time. My troop and I ask that you support this important bill and include it in the omnibus bill.
Thank you so much for your testimony. Next up, we have Maya Yang, and then Ananda Parishan. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Madam Chair and members of this committee, my name is Maya Yang, and I am a program coordinator at Girl Scout River Valleys, as well as a troop leader and a mother of a Girl Scout. I am here in support of House File 3564, the Girl Scout Bill. My role as a mentor troop and a Connects troop leader is focusing on strengthening our AAPI and BIPOC families and girls in these communities. I have seen amazing and inspiring results within my troops and families that I feel that is compelled to share my experiences today. Girls in my troops range from second through eighth grade, and most of them rarely have the opportunity to be in an affirming space with kids who share similar backgrounds due to the lack of financial means and resources. I've seen firsthand how Girl Scouts inspire my own daughter. My daughter joined Girl Scouts just last year. She was shy, and today has joined her school's debate club and looks forward to her debate competitions, including mom and dad as well. My cadet girls, ages 11 through 14, were inspired to do their silver award this year, the second highest award of a Girl Scout that can earn. It's a project that they take on to learn about issues they care about and will teach them essential leadership skills for the future, like empathy, problem solving, self-advocacy, and community involvement. The girls have also been able to celebrate their Hmong culture by learning about Hmong communities, meeting Hmong businesses, entrepreneurs, enjoying Hmong food together, and engaging in conversations with girls and caregivers about Girl Scouts. These types of activities are impactful because while they may not realize it yet, they are engaged in learning the essential skills, leadership skills, to be their own leaders one day. This bill will allow us to advocate and empower girls and communities of color. State funding, like in the Girl Scout bills, helps to provide a high quality, culturally responsive program to girls and communities of color just like mine. My troops and I ask for your support in this bill and include it in the omnibus bill. Thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the committee, for your time.
Thank you for your testimony and your work. Iris Zhang, we have a Girl Scout with us today. Go ahead, when you settle in, state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and the members of this committee. My name is Iris, and I am in a mentor troop. I got into Girl Scouts because I was curious about what they do. That was 3 years ago. Last night, my troop and I were color guards for the Minnesota Timberwolves game. It was an experience I would never forget. We were backstage, we went on court, we saw ourselves in the Jumbotron, and the Wolves won. It was amazing. Our troop has helped a senior home, cleaned up our neighborhood, and donated pet toys to the animal shelter. This year, we will be donating our cookie funds to a homeless shelter. I have learned how to use power tools, cooked for 12 of my Girl Scout troop members, and was interviewed by the U.S. Senator Tina Smith. The cookie season helped me set a large goal each year. I had a hard time engaging with my customers the first year, but by the third year, I increased my customer base by 50%. Girl Scouts has allowed me to help the community, build my confidence, and learn how to run a business. Being in a mentored troop allows girls who look like me experience these opportunities. My troop and I ask for your support in the House File 3564, the Girl Scout Bill. Thank you, Madam Chair, and the members of this committee for your time.
Thank you so much for your testimony. With that, members, we have nobody that signed up from the audience to testify, so I'll bring the discussion to the table. Anybody have any questions or comments? Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative. I'm a big fan. I was a Girl Scout growing up, and I just I loved your last testifier. It's so powerful, and just thanks so much for hearing this bill and being a supporter.
Representative Pryor.
All right. May I ask, thank you, Madam Chair, so what is your favorite cookie?
Representative Edelson.
Collins,
have you?
Thin Mints, 100%. I like the classic.
Follow-up, Representative Pryor. What's yours?
I also go with the Thin Mints. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? Seeing none. Go ahead, Representative Collins. Final word.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair. Thank you, committee members. I think this is a testament to how much everybody loves the Girl Scouts. And I mean, you can't argue with those results, right? Color Guard, Timberwolves won. Like, that's a win. So thank you so much for your time. I would appreciate your support.
Thank you so much. With that, I'll renew the motion that House File 3564 be laid over for possible inclusion in an education finance bill. Next up, we have Representative Hill with House File 2638.
Are we going to get up and work out?
Yeah. Oh, as we're getting settled here, we are hearing some of the bills that we heard last year, if this sounds familiar, just so we hear all the grants at once. And I believe with this bill, we are just looking at the appropriation for 2025. So with that, Representative Hill, welcome to your committee. Go ahead. Do you want to move your bill, House File 2638, before us for possible inclusion in the education finance bill?
So moved, Chair.
With that, go ahead and proceed.
Well, Chair, you, Akeem, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to speak here today on House File 2638. We're here seeking support for Playworks Minnesota and the important work they do each day serving our state's young people. We have several testifiers that we'll be bringing up here in a moment, but just briefly here, I want to share that Playworks Minnesota has been serving our kids for over 25 years. And they have enhanced our kids' ability to build healthy relationships, to process the world around them, and to develop resilience. This important work takes place on playgrounds and in classrooms around the state. And it teaches our kids how to play. And that's confusing for some folks to hear. Some folks have indicated that they don't think kids need to learn how to play. But this work leads to healthier friendships, improved school climate, academic engagement, better attendance, and a reduction in the frequency of discipline incidents and bullying. Teaching kids how to play seems like an unnecessary endeavor to some, but it certainly is not, especially coming off the heels of what we experienced during the pandemic. I'm now going to turn it over to folks who are much more exciting than I am. And we're briefly going to hear from Principal Jenny Parker from Weaver Elementary and then some of our junior coaches, as well as Playworks Executive Director Shauna McDonald.
Go ahead and state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Representative Hill. Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Jenny Parker, and I am the proud principal of Weaver Elementary, a Leader in Me Lighthouse School in District 622. And I am here today in support of House File 2638. Recent legislative efforts suggest that you are aware of many of the challenges facing school leaders. the READ Act is pushing us to adopt curricular resources and methodology that are grounded in scientific research. The non-exclusionary discipline mandate is challenging us to explore and respond to the root causes of student behavior in ways that prioritize the importance of belonging to a community. You have even protected the integrity of the most important part of most students' day, recess. You got it, yes. And yet, what good is any of this effort if students are not attending school? In line with national trends, Minnesota's chronic absenteeism has recently surged, with 3 out of 10 students missing significant school time. Last school year, 118 Weaver students, roughly 25% of our student body, missed 10% or more of the school year. The complex nature of addressing these challenges in a way that achieves sustainable change is one reason that I am incredibly grateful for District 622's partnership with PlayWorks. At Weaver, PlayWorks has become an integral part of our culture and programming. On Mondays, our PlayWorks site coordinator, Coach Marshall, rotates through classrooms, teaching students along with their classroom teachers a specific game, emphasizing teamwork, accepting loss, celebrating victory, and many other social-emotional skills. Not only does this classroom learning time build a greater sense of community among students and between students and their teachers, it is also raising the capacity of teachers to incorporate play and play-based learning into their daily routines. During our recess block, Coach Marshall also supports Weaver's recess supervision staff through modeling, coaching, and feedback. As we've integrated Coach Marshall's feedback, we've improved the overall quality of recess and recess supervision. Only 2 students, that is 0.4% if you're wondering, are currently on alternative recess plans, plans that they manage themselves, and behavior incidents are on the decline. Finally, the most impactful piece of our partnership with PlayWorks is the junior coach program. I remember at the beginning of the school year observing our junior coaches, we have 15, 4 are here today, brand new purple shirts pulled over hoodies, timidly standing at the edges of the playground, eyeing the kindergarten students, unsure of how to engage. Fast forward several months, and the transformation will amaze you. Our junior coaches now confidently organize games, play with students one-on-one, and are leading recess. On average, the attendance rate of our junior coaches is above 90%, with nearly the entire group on track to finish the year above 95%. Our students are serious about leadership, and they show up for it. As you are about to experience, the word timid hardly describes them now. Please allow me to introduce 4 of Weaver Elementary's junior coaches who are going to show you some of the strategies and games they've learned this year. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee.
Hi, my name is Nadine. One thing I love about junior coaching is helping kids out and playing fun new games. And we usually use attention getters to get our class's attention. And when I say Minnesota, you say rocks. Minnesota!
Rocks!
Minnesota!
Rocks!
I do, but when I say do that, don't do what I do. I think
Do you want us to stay standing?
No, only if you're still up.
Oh, what's that?
So,
oh.
I don't think
you can still play if you were out.
Oh, thank God.
Freeman.
High five.
You left me hanging.
Hi, my name is Maria, and something I love about doing coaching is showing kids how to play different games. I calm kids down by making them grab an invisible flower and an invisible cannon. Can you guys please try that with me? Breathe in your flower and breathe out your candle. Breathe in your flower again and breathe out your candle.
So Jamie Chico, and I'm in fourth grade. And one thing I like being a game coach is help new kids play a new game. And today we recognize people with appreciation that come today and went to teach you. The first part of point. That will please rub your hands together and warm them up. On the count of three, we're going to clap and say, oh yeah. 3, 2, 1.
Oh yeah! Yeah.
We love play work!
Thank you for waking us all up this morning. That helps. Go ahead and state your name for the record. Proceed.
Hello, Chair Joachim and members of the committee. My name is Shauna McDonald, and I am the Executive Director of Playworks Minnesota, here testifying on behalf of House File 2638. And wow, these kids are amazing. So at Playworks, our programming, as shared, has three components. Classroom partnership with educators, recess, and really the heart and engine of transformation in our schools, which is the Junior Coach program. And each of our schools has a cohort of 15 to 20 student leaders in our schools. We are a school-wide intervention, which means we touch every single child in a school. And collectively, our practices help students develop critical social competencies, build relationships, and create safe and inclusive communities for learning. The activities you've just participated in today exemplify this approach, igniting joy, fun, a little silliness, something that all students need, we all need in our lives, while also developing those critical skills like impulse control, active listening, quick decision making, and stress management. Playworks is not just a concept. We are a Tier 1 intervention under the Every Student Succeeds Act, validated by Stanford University Controlled Study and supported by 12 additional published studies. Our methods are proven to reduce bullying, increase attendance, and create safer and more inclusive schools. A testament to our impact is seen in District 622, home of Principal Parker. There, we began with external funding for just one school, which created the spark for district-wide adoption. This example highlights our potential to affect statewide educational transformation. Thank you for taking the time to hear this bill today, and I'm happy to stand for questions.
Thank you so much. With that, members, we'll take it to the table for any questions, thoughts, or comments. Representative Bennett.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thanks for the presentation and all the information. Very good. I'm a former first grade teacher, so recess was very important, obviously, still is. I'm just curious I'm not as familiar with Playworks, but does Playworks promote structured recess, kind of adult structured, or free play? How does that work?
Director McDonald.
Yes, Chair Joachim, Representative. Playworks is not structured recess. So Playworks practices create scaffolding within the recess environment. So we introduce practices that support kids' ability to have a shared understanding of how to do things together and tools and skills in order to solve their own disputes. start games on their own and select what it is they do in driving and building their own community. Our practices are culturally responsive and trauma-informed. So at a PlayWorks school, the games you see children playing may look very different from school to school based on their desire and their choice.
Representative Bennett, Paula.
Thanks, Madam Chair, and thank you for that. I do support that. I think free play is incredibly important, but I certainly also understand that kids need to be prompted and helped to make good choices and have choices in the first place. So very nice. Thanks.
Any other questions or thoughts, members? Representative Bennett.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Hill, for bringing this bill forward. I really appreciate the comments on chronic absenteeism. I do think this is a huge issue, and I think what might bring a kid to school might be something like this, being able to play. And I have a question about something I've read on your literature here. So the ultimate objective is to guide schools towards self-sustainability. And I know this, you're asking for a $1.2 million investment. I'm just curious, like, what will that look like over the years then after, you know, 2-3 years of building a program like this? What would it look like?
Executive Director McDonald.
Yes. Representative Joachim, Representative. So we have a very intentional way in which we partner with schools to build their ability to self-sustain practice. Another great example is District 622, which is next week going to be recognized as what we call a blue shirt district, which means they have embedded frameworks, policy, and practice into their schools and systems that then they will are committed to continue to utilize. And we stay engaged with them with light touch supports to ensure fidelity, mostly which includes data that helps them maintain the quality of recess and opportunities they've been able to establish for students.
Follow-up, Representative.
Thank you. Well, I'm a huge fan of play. You know, I love that quote from Albert Einstein that says, play is the highest form of research, and I really believe that, and I applaud anyone who really promotes recess and free play for our kids, so thank you so much for bringing this forward.
Thank you, Representative Ream. Any other comments? Representative
Krisha. Thank you. And if so, Representative Hill, thank you for bringing this forward. Thank you for the bill. I just want to give you an opportunity to set the record, because there can always be misstarted intentions. We're certainly not saying this isn't occurring in the schools. We're not suggesting that teachers and others aren't already encouraging this. I'm assuming this is just a supplement to that.
Representative Hill.
Thank you, Chair Joachim, and thank you for the question, Representative, or Lead Krisha. My understanding is that the value that comes from PlayWorks is that it creates student leaders, and student leaders take this on. And, you know, in my closing, which I, you know, I'll provide for you now, during difficult times in my childhood, it was when other children brought me into play. And if we can expand that out, that provides greater opportunities for our kids, greater health for our kids, and in the end, greater learning for our kids.
Thank you, Representative Krishapala. Any further questions, comments? Representative Hill, do you want to add to your conclusion?
No, just thank you for the opportunity, and thank you to our junior leaders who did a great job, and we hope you'll consider supporting House File 2638. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Hill. And with that, I'll renew the motion to lay over House File 2638 for possible inclusion in an education finance bill. Next up, we have House File 2696 with Representative Greenman. Welcome back to your own committee. Representative Greenman, would you like to move your House File 2696 before the committee?
Yes, Madam Chair, I would.
And with that, I see you have a D1 amendment, so we'll just get the bill in the shape you'd like. All those in favor of the D1 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. The D1 amendment's adopted. With that, Representative Greenman, proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I'm really glad to be here to be presenting House File 2696. which would provide, and which we heard last year as well, and it provide funding to increase access for YMCA's Youth in Government program. For more than 75 years, Youth in Government has been helping Minnesota students understand our system of government and work effectively and respectively within the system. It's a hands-on experiential civics program that lets students practice what it's like to participate and lead in our democracy and democratic government. For folks who are like us, who started in the legislature, we all know that part of the way you learn how things work here is by doing it. And that is what Youth in Government helps students be able to do. It doesn't just prepare young folks for working in government or running for office. It prepares them to think, to discuss, to understand how to bridge difference and to compromise and find common ground. These are life skills that folks need in everything that they do. It really lets Minnesota kids practice democracy and the skills that they need to lead and participate. I will say, and maybe many of you, about a month ago, I think, had a lobby day where I had students in my office talking about, many of them were Youth in Government alumni, talking about how this experience, one, allowed them to meet kids from across the state, and also get just more interested in what, in government and the issues that they care about. So I will leave it to our testifiers to talk, and especially our student testifier, to talk a little bit more about the experience of participating in Youth in Government and why it's so important that we're participating in it. What I will do quickly is just explain what's in the bill, which is it provides $150,000 of one-time funding for scholarships and meal assistance so that any student who wants to can participate and learn these critical life skills regardless of what their financial circumstances is. It also supports high-quality civics programs that engage literally thousands of Minnesota K-12 students with other programs as well. So with that, Madam Chair, I have a few testifiers who I think can really show both the benefit and put some stories on why this is so important.
Thank you, Representative Greenman. With that, I'll go to your first testifier, Amy Anderson, Executive Director, Center for Youth Voice. Go ahead, state your name for the record. Proceed.
Good morning, Chair Joachim and members of the committee. Thank you so much for inviting us to testify today. My name is Amy Anderson. I'm the executive director of the YMCA Center for Youth Voice, which is home to Youth in Government, among a number of other civic learning programs. Somewhere along the way, every person on this committee had an experience that inspired you to engage more deeply with our democracy and run for office. And we appreciate that you did. Every year, the Youth in Government program provides life-changing experiences for Minnesota's young people. It does this in two different ways. First, it offers an opportunity for students to come together, as Representative Greenman said, and experience and literally practice the work of democracy. This year, more than 1,300 young people took on the roles of legislators, lawyers, judges, lobbyists, members of the media, or cabinet members, and spent 4 days in January at the state capitol, sitting in your seats on the House floor and in committees. And they run a model government. The days were long, as you can probably relate to, and sometimes the work was hard. But I guarantee that the knowledge and skills they gained through this hands-on experience will never be forgotten. We are one of the very few youth and government programs in the country that have the privilege of utilizing so much of our state capitol facilities, and we are very grateful for your continued support of this. Second, and I think this is even more important, Youth in Government helps to inspire young people, as you were all inspired, to see themselves as engaged civic participants. People who care about their communities, take a stand for things they oppose, and advocate for issues that are important to them and their families. As these young people get older, they continue to pay attention to local policy issues. They join community boards. They reach out to their elected officials. They vote, and maybe they even run for office. Because like you, they came to understand that great communities require active civic participation. Raising good citizens doesn't just happen automatically. Just like we teach children to brush their teeth, eat healthy foods, exercise, and get enough sleep, we also need to help them develop the knowledge, skills, and motivation to participate in civic life. That is why programs like Youth in Government are so important. If I had my way, every single student in Minnesota would participate in Youth in Government. I promise you we would all be better for it. For now, I'll settle for ensuring that we never have to turn away a student who wants to participate in our programs. This has become even more difficult over the last several years as program expenses have continued to go up and we've worked hard to expand our reach to diverse populations from all over the state. And by diverse, it's not just race. I'm also talking about geography, greater Minnesota and the core cities, political views, economic differences among families. The money appropriated in this bill will help us provide program scholarships for participants whose families need help. It will also provide small stipend-based incentives for teachers to start and lead a local youth and government delegation at their school. And finally, the money will help keep programs like the statewide mock election, this year presidential election, students voting, and Youth Day at the Capitol, as Representative Freeman mentioned, completely free for participants. But enough about dollars. Madam Chair, with your permission, I'd like to turn the mic over to one of our incredible student leaders to share a little bit about her experience, why participating in Youth in Government has been so important to her and her friends.
Thank you. We have Esha Vipakar from Wayzata, but please pronounce your name correctly and then proceed with your testimony.
Hello, Chair Joachim and members of the committee. I'm Esha Vipakar, a sophomore at Wayzata High School. I've been a Youth in Government participant since eighth grade. I learned about the program from my uncle. In January of 2023, I ran for an office within the program, and this past January, I served as one of the speakers of the House for our 9th and 10th grade legislatures. Leading a group of my peers as the Speaker of the House was such a new and exciting experience. I not only honed my public speaking skills, but had the chance to learn life lessons of communication, time management, problem solving, delegating, and diplomacy. The beginning of every government starts with the education of our youth, Pythagoras. Youth in Government is an incredibly important program to me. I've had the chance to make so many new connections with fellow students from across the state, some of whom have become my closest friends. The conferences provide such a welcoming environment for everyone involved. Not only do Youth in Government conferences provide friendships to last a lifetime, but they've taught me and my friends so many invaluable life skills. It also cannot function without the help of the amazing adult volunteers who work so hard to make conferences run as smooth as they can. I really love the program and look forward to it every year. I can't imagine my high school experience without having the opportunities this program has given me. I appreciate you all giving me the time to share my experience and hope that with this bill, it can help so many more students get to share the wonderful feelings Youth in Government brings. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your testimony, and thank you for so much for being part of the program. With that, members, we'll go to the table for any questions or thoughts or comments. Representative Sapp.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Freeman, for bringing this bill, and to the testifiers, especially the students, this is all part of the process. I regret that this is not a program I participated in Rochester growing up, but I've been able to connect with the Youth in Government in one of my school districts in Northfield, which I think is like the fourth largest, and certainly per capita, and just really seeing the leadership that this develops for the students. I'm really happy to be a co-sponsor, and thank you so much.
Thank you. And Representative Edelson, did I see your hand up here?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Representative, and to the testifier. Congrats on being, what would be the fourth woman Speaker of the House then? So I'm just Chief Clerk Patrick Murphy also just does a really great job, and I represent Edina, and Edina is actually going to join. I know that you're Wayzata, so I'm really excited. But I did see Youth in Government last year, and I was just so impressed with the debate. I can't remember what I watched. I was trying to remember, but it was fantastic to see you guys in the chamber. So thank you.
Thank you so much for that. Any other comments from the table? Seeing none, with that final word, Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think I will just leave it to Esha, the fourth Speaker of the House, and say I think the experience both of learning how to do some of this and learning the process of engaging folks from around the state and engaging people with different experiences is something that I think bakes in a level of civics education that you can't teach just in the classroom. And so I would appreciate your support as this bill gets laid over.
Thank you, Representative Greenman. With that, we'll renew the motion that House File 2696 as amended be laid over for possible inclusion in an education finance bill. Last up, but not least, by any means, Representative Perez Vega, welcome to your committee. Would you like to move House File 1591 before the committee?
I would. I also would like to offer a DE1 amendment.
Perfect. Representative Perez Vega has a DE1 amendment she's moving before us. Let's get the bill in the shape she'd like to discuss it. All those in favor of the DE1 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, say no. The DE1 amendment's adopted, and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and members of our wonderful Education Finance Committee. It's an honor to serve in such a historic session with you and to bring up initiatives that are going to help our kids. I'm here to present HF5091. Which is a bill that requests $350,000 in one-time funding for the Westside Boosters organization to create an after-school literacy incentive program known as Slice for St. Paul Kids Literacy Incentive Pilot Program. This grant is going towards building our schools in our St. Paul school districts, which are youth that are engaged with the Westside Boosters organization. A little bit background of the Westside Boosters youth organization is a nonprofit established in the 1970s to provide athletic opportunities for young people in the Westside and surrounding communities. The mission of the Boosters is to develop and administer programs which provide leadership and engagement through sports and social activities to the West Side, as we say, the best side, and other St. Paul youth. We strive to remove barriers and provide the highest level of access to all participants, regardless of their financial ability to pay. The Westside Booster Club was founded in 1970, and I have to give props to the first Latino to be elected to the St. Paul Public School District, the legacy of Gilbert de la O, who passed away in the summer of 2022. His remembrance was to be dedicated to St. Paul schools to not only thrive on the field, but also thrive through education and reach their highest potential. This is an organization that for the past 53 years has continued to grow as an out-of-school time programming leader in the West Side. And in 2023, the Westside Boosters served more than 930 youth throughout the city of St. Paul in programs that span from cheerleading, volleyball, softball, football, basketball, and more. The Westside Booster works closely with the neighborhood youth, local schools, and businesses as a leader in the Westside community. I want to give a little bit of the statistics of this program's narrative, and knowing that Minnesota has some of the largest education achievement gaps in the country seen across race and income categories. Only a third of the St. Paul Public School districts are proficient readers, and these numbers have decreased since 2019. 80% of the district are minority, and 48% are economically disadvantaged. With 100 different languages spoken in this district, this will help our kids, not just one child, but all groups of different backgrounds reach their potential with literacy being a shine. I am a fan of what I remember being the Book It program when I was in school, and I remember that it wasn't provided to public schools at the time, and I had the opportunity and privilege to be at a private school. And I remember being a dual language reader, and this was an opportunity for me to not only learn how to read in both of my languages, but also share the great stories that we have with collaborative efforts in our community's authors and publishers, the books that reflect our community, just as much as the Westside Boosters organizations reflects the communities of St. Paul's diversity. We want to see that diversity excel through this literacy program. That is why I'm asking members to support a program that would help
over 1,500 children in the St. Paul schools of Maxfield Elementary, Riverview Elementary, East African Magnet School, Humboldt School, and Cherokee Elementary Schools. As I said, this is a pilot program, but we look forward to having this pushed throughout all St. Paul public schools with hopes of even getting to cross the river to Minneapolis public schools and reaching supporting organizations to partner for Greater Minnesota when we talk about athletes and education. With that, Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'd like to welcome our next testimony here from the Westside Boosters organization. Gracias.
Thank you. Robert Cruz, Executive Director of Westside Boosters Organization. Please restate your name for the record and proceed.
Robert Cruz. Good morning. My name is Robert Cruz, and I serve as the Executive Director of the Westside Boosters Youth Sports Organization. I've had the privilege of working with youth in my community, the Westside, and the larger St. Paul community for nearly two decades as a coach, mentor, volunteer, and community leader. It makes me proud to be able to be in the space now as a former participant who benefited from the great programming of the Westside Boosters for over 53 years. I work with and coach kids in our community each day. Kids have a passion for athletics, kids that are trying to figure out their way, some with a strong family unit, but many who come to our program as a safe space, an outlet for their energy, a place that they can themselves fine-tune their skills and pursue a dream, whether that be in athletics or education. As someone who works directly with our young people every day, I have always emphasized the importance of education. We talk daily about how they are doing in school, what they are learning, what they're having a tough time with, and what they may need to happen in order to improve. What is clear is that many of the kids are academically behind and struggling to catch up. As adults, we know that statistically, if our kids cannot read by third grade, their likelihood as of being prepared for college or post-secondary education, entering the workforce, and on-time graduation from high school are negatively impacted. We believe that this incentive-based program will help encourage our youth to pick up books and read, to spend more of their free time reading and sharpening their skills and knowledge. We have many coaches and volunteers throughout our program that recognize the necessity of encouraging our students, athletes, to be even more engaged in school as they're in their sports. We believe this program will be an opportunity to motivate the kids of Riverview, Cherokee, Humboldt, Maxfield, and East African Magnet School to pick up more books and feed their brains with the tools they need for future success. The Westside Boosters are excited to partner with Slice Brothers Pizza to get our kids in St. Paul on the right track to success. They need to learn to read to be able to read to learn. Just like I tell my kids in sports, it's a numbers game. The more we do it, the better we will be in our community and getting more educated. I thank you all for your time today.
Thank you so much for your time today as well, Executive Director. With that, we have Board Member Carlo Franco from St. Paul Schools. And then next up is Adam Cato, owner of Slice Brothers Pizza. Please go ahead and state your name for the record and proceed.
Good afternoon, Carlo Franco. Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Carlo Franco, and I am a member of the St. Paul Public Schools Board of Education. I am here to testify in favor of House File 5091, a bill for an act creating a slice for a St. Paul Kids Literacy Incentive Pilot Program. I'm here testifying as a citizen, as a Westside community member, as somebody who is a youth worker, and this is not me formally endorsing this. I'm part of the SPPS or the Board of Education. This is a personal endorsement from a St. Paul Public Schools graduate who understands the importance of reading and works each day to ensure that that our young people have the tools that they need for a life of success that starts with literacy, as we all know. Youth today face many challenges and choices. This program will help today's youth meet others who have faced similar challenges between the covers of a book. This literacy initiative pilot project offers youth a coupon for a slice of pizza at a local black-owned pizzeria for taking initiative to reading books during their time away from the classroom, turning the pages to a brighter future. I think it's fair to say that all of us in this space have had an experience with a book, something that impacted our lives, and remember that maybe to this day. What I that the, what we also know is that the long-term impacts of leaving elementary school without the skills, or elementary school, excuse me, without the skills that you need to pick up a book, to read the laws that this body here creates, to know about the resources available, the paths to employment or entrepreneurship could bring. Some of our youth need that extra motivation to start the journey, to pick up that book. And once they kind of build that pattern in and get that incentivized program, we really do believe that the partnership and community with the schools will really stress that importance. And our goal is that every single young person will grow up and have a story connected to a book that they can speak to for the future generations. This literacy grant program will engage community partners more than just what is listed, but schools and libraries to give youth a delicious reason to finish reading the books that we speak, to finish reading the books, and as they do so, earning that reward as a slice of pizza to combo. This program will introduce a new generation of readers to the joy of being seen in a book, of traveling the world, and the joy of living their own story fully. So please vote in favor of House File 5091. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your testimony. My love, we have Adam Cato. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Greetings, Madam Chair. My name is Adam Cato. I'm co-founder of Slice Brothers Pizza, and I'm here in support of House File 5091. Little about Slice Brothers Pizza, we're a black-owned business with 5 locations across the Twin Cities Metro, 2 locations in St. Paul, 1 in Frogtown on University Avenue, the other in Lower Town in the Treasure Island Center owned by the St. Paul Port Authority that just opened a couple weeks ago. We've created 35 jobs across the metro area, and I am also a product of the St. Paul school system K-12. This program in itself is essentially the breakdown, and what we're sort of asking is 10 minutes a day, 5 days a week, totaling 50 minutes a week and 200 minutes a month. Once kids reach the 200-minute threshold, once they achieve the 200-minute threshold, they'll receive a voucher valid for an 8-inch pizza at either of our St. Paul locations in Frogtown or Lower Town. This is a 2-year pilot program beginning in fiscal year 2025, ending in 27. In that time, students, all of these students together, which is 1,525 students, will have read 27,450,000 minutes in total. What that looks like per kid is 60 hours over a 2-year span of extracurricular reading, not within the school curriculum. The long-term benefits of improved literacy rates are pretty well known. They lead to higher education. Higher education statistically has shown that it leads to higher income levels, wages, and with 50% of the kids currently in our public school district in economically disadvantaged households, the benefit is not only to these kids, but their greater communities as well. Me being almost somewhat of a case study that I've created in St. Paul alone, 20 jobs in this past year. So an investment in me as a kid has given return on investment, you know, and what does that look like for the kids? Pizza is like instant gratification, right? It's difficult to sell a kid on what reading 10 minutes a day will do for you, you know, like they need instant gratification, right? So this is about meeting these kids where they're at. If I can give a kid pizza and he can be instantly rewarded for that gratification and he's reading at the same time, he's getting a long-term benefit, and at the same time he's happy, and it's going to incentivize more reading. That's the basis of the incentivized literacy program. We're also increasing the literacy rate. 27% of kids in St. Paul are reading below or at or below 27% tested, which is disheartening to hear as a kid from this district. So, yeah, thanks for your time, and that's it.
Thank you for your testimony and being such a big part of your community.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
With that, we'll move up to the table here. Members, Representative Kreshaw.
I can wait to the end.
Okay. Representative Bennett.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for presenting this bill and all the testifiers as well. Obviously, literacy is incredibly important, so I applaud any efforts to improve it. So thank you, Representative Perez Vega. And just wondering, can somebody flesh this out? What does this look like in action? So this is perhaps an after-school program. Are they reading at that time? Are they reading at home and bringing their documentation there? And then obviously they get this a pizza coupon. Who gets them to the pizza place? How does that reimbursement work for the pizza business? And could you just flesh this out a little bit?
Representative Garcia.
Madam Chair, yes, thank you, Representative. So the operation is that each kid will receive a pizza voucher for the 8-inch cheese or pepperoni pizza upon completion of their 200 minutes. And this is an opportunity for them to be able to document that in their classrooms through their after-school programming at the Westside Boosters, who would be delivering the vouchers to the schools, and signed off by a student, by the student's parent or the student's teacher. So that's how the program would be administered through the Westside Boosters with that. The guidelines, like Mr. Cato had stated, would be that the kids are documenting that through their teachers, through the schools, and through the parents. It is through the nonprofit organization, Westside Boosters, who will be collecting those signatures and working with partnership through those St. Paul Public School District to get the data on behalf of how the literacy program is approaching the child in their reading initiative. So if you have any other follow-up question, I'd be able to answer.
Representative Bennett.
Thanks, Madam Chair. So then, thank you for that. And then once they get the pizza coupon, mm-hmm. then does the parent bring them to the pizza place? And then is the pizza business reimbursed per pizza, or how does that work?
So I can ask Mr. Cato, Madam Chair. I'd like to ask Mr. Cato, who is the business owner, to be able to explain the spreadsheet a little bit more clear as far as I know that he has those answers. Thank you.
Mr. Cato, please state your name for the record again and proceed.
Madam Chair, Adam Cato. The question was exactly, like, was it the breakdown of the pizzas or?
Madam Chair, can Representative please re-ask the question? Thank you.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just wondering how the reimbursement works. So a family comes, presents the coupon to one of your pizza sites, gets the pizza, then do you turn that in for a reimbursement? Is there a set amount that you get per pizza? How does this work? I'm just trying to picture the whole program in the flesh.
Yeah. So, yeah, we would submit the voucher to the Westside Boosters, and then they would procure payment to us. The breakdown of the pizzas is $10 per pizza. Added that of each $10 we receive, we are donating $1 to a donor-advised fund, so we'll only take in $9. And then the rest will go to a donor advised fund. That fund breaks down with essentially $27,450 after a 2-year period that will go to a scholarship fund.
Representative Bennett.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Thank you for that. And thanks for caring about literacy and is getting involved. We really appreciate that. And to you too, Representative. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
With that, I've got Representative Clardy.
Thank you for bringing this bill forward. I'm real excited about it. As you know, I've been a teacher for a long time. This program is based on an old idea with pizzas, mm-hmm. with a national firm, so I'm really happy that it's local. And then also, Westside Booster Club is amazing. I got introduced to them probably 2004. And just the community effort and the thinking outside the box of how to support the students and how to move them is impressive. And then also your collection of supporters is huge. And it's from the community. So I appreciate you supporting improvement in literacy.
Representative Sensor Murrow.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Perez Vega. I think this is a very creative idea, and I'm in support of this bill. One thing I really like is the connection, the collaboration between local businesses and the schools and nonprofits. I think, you know, especially when we look at things like our literacy rates, and we know that we have a huge issue with that, like, we need everyone in the city to be getting involved. And so I think it's a really creative way to bring people together. And, you know, I think with the READ Act, we've been focusing a lot about how do we make sure that students know how to read, but inspiring a love of reading is also incredibly important. And I, when you said the book and program, I like tasted the pepperoni personal pan pizza from Pizza Hut in my mouth. And so I remember that. So just very much in support, and would love to talk about how to do something similar in Minneapolis. So let's chat offline. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Pryor.
Just want to say quickly, I am a fan of reading. And also of Slice Brothers Pizza. It's very good, so I do recommend it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Pryor. With that, I've got, before I go to Lead Krisha, anybody else? Seeing none, Lead Krisha.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative, for bringing the bill up. So just some accountability questions. I love the idea. I love where you're going. But just some things that you should think about as you're going forward with this. To the representative or to the owner, could they only use these vouchers at your establishment, or can they perhaps purchase at other entities?
Representative Perry-Tega.
Madam Chair and Representative Krisha, thank you for that question. This is a contracted partnership between the Westside Booster Organization with Slice Brothers Pizza in the two locations in St. Paul, which is what Mr. Cato had expressed was Lower Town in my district, and also Frogtown in Representative Hussein's district, who's the co-author. So those are the two businesses, and it would not be going to a Papa John's or a Domino's or Pizza Hut program.
Representative,
thank you, Madam Chair. And so so could other businesses appeal that decision, or could they ask to participate in it? Are there avenues for other businesses to participate? Is this exclusivity contract?
This is
Representative Perez-Vega.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is an exclusivity contract with the Westside Boosters Organization and Slice Brothers Pizza. However, you know, the future endeavors look like how Slice Brothers locations between the two districts would be able to be supported in partnership with other nonprofit organizations in the communities that it would serve.
Representative Krisha.
Okay, and thank you for that. I would just raise a red flag there. I think that you're dealing with public dollars, and you're taking the decisions out of the grant process and put an exclusivity contract. So I just think there's some red flags there. I'd be careful of that. To the board member for the, and you can just nod your head yes or no, did you also petition St. Paul School District for these funds, or is this just here?
I'd have to have you come down, yeah, to the microphone and restate your name for the record.
Carlo Franco, Representative Krisha, I am supporting this as an individual person. The school district is aware that this is a community-driven program through the nonprofit and the business that are developed this program and will be working in partnership with. But we did not go to the art. It's not my knowledge that they went to the district for that.
Okay.
Representative Krisha.
Thank you. And this is a question for you, Mr. Strom. And again, this is an interesting and creative idea. I see some possibility red flags. But, Mr. Strom, because this is dealing with food, is there any possibility that a vendor like this could register with the school and this could be done through the school nutrition programs?
Mr. Strom.
We're not talking that much money.
Madam Chair, Representative Krisha, there are a lot of rules in the school nutrition program. So taking one step back, it's certainly possible for the school district to work with its general fund money. I am not sure if one runs this through the school nutrition fund, whether any possible way that could work, given some of the constrictions and restrictions on location, group setting, those kinds of things. So I think if you took one step further back, the answer is yes. I'm not in a position to comment whether you could actually do it through the fund too, through the nutrition program or not.
Representative Krisha.
And so let me ask you this way. With a very carefully crafted Dim Strom amendment, could we do it?
Mr. Strom.
Madam Chair, Representative Kreisha, I think in general the food is going to have to meet the nutritional guidelines, including all the food products. And then beyond that, the issues of group setting and during school activity or during school time for these meals has tripped folks up, even with regular food service activities. So we could see what we could do on that front, but I'd be very, very nervous.
And one
last. Lee Kreisha, one more.
Thank you. And again, I'm just, these are some things you should be careful about and raising red flags. The other thing that I heard from the owner of the sliced pizza, you said you're going to set aside $1 for everyone to go to a scholarship fund. That seems to be another misdirection of funds without public vetting and input, and I think that would be it could go to the right spot. It could be wonderful. However, if not the proper ideas in place, let me do it this way. Somebody's not going to receive this money, and somebody has the potential to appeal that, and what headaches would that create for you? These are public dollars. So I think it's a very creative idea. I just see lots of loose ends here. And like I said, if I was of a legal mind or if I was in a financial position where I lost out on these dollars and could make an appeal showing that maybe it wasn't done publicly or doesn't the right I's weren't dotted and the right T's weren't crossed, it could create more headaches. So button all that up, maybe go through the school district first. $350,000 is not that much. I would certainly put a petition there. But those are just my cautions. I think you have a great idea, and I would hate for this to become something negative that hits the newspapers when it was started with great intentions.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for your comments on behalf of the program. I want to also state on the record in regards to what Mr. Cato had presented as a scholarship initiative for a donor advised fund going to the St. Paul Philando Castile Scholarship, which is someone that is a graduate of our school district in St. Paul who was tragically killed with his mission to serve St. Paul students and all children. His donor advised fund is through the his mother Valerie Castillo, who is a supportive of making sure that kids get fed and kids have opportunity to higher excellence of education. That donor advised fund is through the St. Paul of Minnesota Foundation. So that is a vetted organization I'm sure folks are very familiar with. And it was very kind of what captured my heart when the boosters and organization and Slice Brothers Pizzeria came as alumnus of St. Paul Public Schools, as folks that personally knew Mr. Fernando Castile and were youth workers in the time as athletes to make sure that our kids, even ourselves, were able to have food and accessibility that I see not this as an idea, but as a collective community movement in which we are starting here in St. Paul. And all of that is essential for what we bring here with 5091, that yes, kids need to read. Kids are needing to be fed even outside of school. And also the mentorship of coaches who come from professional basketball and football players like Kenny Stills and our Jalen Suggs of the Booster Program come back to our district to make sure that those kids have the opportunity and advantage and hold the name of Philando Castile as a legacy, as a mission towards equitable justice for kids in the St. Paul Public School District. Thank you.
Thank you. So did you want to add to wrap up then?
I would like to add
Madam
Chair.
Lee Kreisha.
I'm sorry. I want to make sure you follow up, and I don't want to take the last word. But may I ask a question on that, what I just heard?
Just briefly.
Thank you. So, again, I'm just very cautiously raising some red flags. But what I heard was that these dollars would flow through and then possibly end up into a scholarship for an already existing scholarship. And that may be all fine, but that is not what's in this bill. And that is, you're now, what I'm concerned about is, if you come back with this, put an amendment, be very transparent about where all these dollars could flow. I'm just calling this out because I think you have a lot of intentions, a lot of great things, but the transparency is now, what I'm hearing is, these could be very loose and that could come back in a very negative way, especially to a business owner that's trying to do something very good. And I would hate for you to have negative press on that. So I just raise those cautions because I don't see that transparency in the bill.
Thank you. Representative Perez-Vega, final comments.
Thank you. I want to thank the Westside Boosters organization for their ensuring and leadership for our kids' literacy, who would be the ones to administer the funds to purchase the vouchers that are going to be excelling and starting a movement that I see not only in St. Paul, but going throughout our Twin Cities school districts in supporting more kids for literacy on full bellies and happiness of how our Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle program says, cowabunga dudes, let's have a slice of pizza and keep reading books. With that, I ask folks, and thank you for the supporters of my colleagues who are co-authors on this. And let's get slices for our kids. Gracias.
Thank you, Representative Perez Vega. With that, we'll renew the motion that House File 1591 be laid over as amended for possible inclusion in an education finance bill. With that, members, once again, we'll give you a little time back in your day. We'll be meeting next week on Tuesday, April 9th, 10:30 a.m., our regular place and time, and the schedule will be posted soon. With that, we are adjourned.